Welcome to Prophetic School, Part 4. As always, I'm excited and glad that you decided to tune us in for Part 4. If you've not heard the first three parts, you can always view them at my website, johneckhartministries.com. The first program, I talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit being the doorway into the prophetic realm, that if you're a Spirit-filled believer, you can prophesy on some level. And then the second program, I talked about your attitude toward prophecy, that you must desire to prophesy. You must actually covet to prophesy, have a strong desire to prophesy. And then part three, I talked about God's desire for us to excel in the prophetic, which means we should superabound in quantity or quality. And today I'm going to talk about how the prophetic works in worship, the song of the Lord, singing prophetically to the Lord, singing a word, a song from the Lord. And I'm just so glad of the feedback that I received from all over the world, as a matter of fact, of people viewing the program and saying how much they've been stirred, challenged, how much they've been educated, illuminated. And the first three lessons, I've kind of just laid some foundation, very basic teaching on the prophetic. I know there are people that are watching that have had teaching on the prophetic, and you're waiting for me to go into some deeper areas of prophets and how prophets function. And I just ask you to please be patient with me, because so many people, this is the first time they're really hearing any type of teaching on prophecy and the prophetic realm. And so I don't assume that everyone is on the same level, but then again, I don't assume that everyone is on the elementary level. I know there are people that may be on the elementary level. Some may be on an intermediate level. Some may be on an advanced level. But I do need to just lay some basics, some foundational teachings, because I know that there are some who are watching this. And maybe it's been taught to you that prophecy is not even for today, that there are no prophets. There is no prophecy. And so I want to make sure that everything we do and teach is based on the Word of God. And, of course, I also want to encourage you to get a copy of this book. It's called God Still Speaks. It's the book that I've written on the subject of prophecy, how prophets function in the local church, the role of prophecy in the local church, prophetic worship, prophetic intercession, prophetic gatekeepers. And you can order this book. It's only for a $10 donation at our website at johneckhartministries.com. And many of you have ordered this book, God Still Speaks, and you've already received it and read it. And many have said how blessed they are by reading and studying, because there's only so much I can cover in an hour. And there's so much information and revelation in that book that I know will bless you. So just make sure you go to www.johneckhartministries.com. You can order that book. There are other books as well on the apostolic, on deliverance, on the kingdom, on prayer. My warfare prayer books are there. And so you can take advantage of our MP3 teachings. We also have teachings on the prophetic that I preached and taught at our local church. You can download those directly to your computer, and I know that you can just accelerate in your knowledge and understanding of prophecy and the prophetic realm. I've often told people my testimony that I began to move in the prophetic around 1989. I was saved in 1979. I began to preach in 1979, and even though I was a Pentecostal, charismatic, had flowed and heard prophecies every now and then, I really did not move into the prophetic strongly until 1989. So I've been operating in this about 25 years, and I've seen how this has transformed our local church and transformed churches around the world. And one of the areas where the prophetic really impacts a church is in the area of worship. We don't want to limit prophecy to just giving someone a word. There are so many different areas that prophets, prophetic ministry covers: intercession, prayer, worship, preaching, teaching, personal prophecy, corporate prophecy, prophetic presbytery, ordination, even dancing can be prophetic. So there are so many different ways the prophetic can influence our church. And once the prophetic comes into a church, it will not only activate people to prophesy individually or corporately, give you the ability to impart, to activate, to ordain, to do prophetic presbytery, but also it has a great effect upon the worship. And I believe that worship inherently should be prophetic. And so I'm going to talk about prophecy and worship. And I want to begin by saying this: prophecy is simply speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's inspired utterance. And you can either speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, or you can sing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So prophecy can be spoken or it can be sung. And I believe that it should be a part of every church as far as worship is concerned. When you study the development of prophecy and the prophetic in the Bible, it begins really with the birth of Samuel. We know there are prophets before Samuel. Moses was a prophet. Abraham is called a prophet. Enoch is called a prophet. There were prophets before Samuel. But the Bible says when Samuel was born, this is found in 1 Samuel chapter 3, that there was, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no open vision, which means the word of God, the prophetic word, was very rare. And God began to teach this young man and speak to this young man at a young age, and this young man began to grow, and he began to prophesy, Samuel. Samuel was the individual that was able to begin to develop prophetic schools in Israel, began to train emerging prophets, young prophets. He really began to develop, and what I say, raise the water level of the prophetic in Israel. The prophetic, until that time, had never really been developed. The only ministry that was really operating at that time was the priesthood and the priestly ministry, and because of its corruption, God raised up the prophetic ministry to begin to challenge the corruption of Eli and his sons. One of the dangers I found in ministry is that if only one ministry is developed and other ministries are underdeveloped, and all power rests in the hands of one ministry, whether it's the pastoral ministry or the evangelistic ministry or the apostolic ministry, then that power tends to corrupt people, which is why we need different anointings and different ministries to counter and balance each other. And the prophetic ministry is one of those ministries that will bring balance to the pastoral, to the apostolic, to the evangelistic, to the teaching, so that no one ministry can have all the power and then begin to corrupt people and leaders. Men have a problem with power. When they have too much power and there's no one to balance or check them, they tend to become corrupt. And so Samuel began to develop the school of the prophets. And you'll find that in 1 Samuel chapter 3, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no open vision. In other words, there was no prophetic activity in Israel. But then when you get to 1 Samuel chapter 10, you find that Samuel is told by God to ordain Saul to be the first king of Israel. And he tells Saul, after pouring the vial of oil on his head and anointing him to be the king of Israel, he tells him that when you leave me, you're going to meet a company of prophets coming down from the hill, and they're going to prophesy over you, and you're going to be turned into another man. Notice in 1 Samuel chapter number 10 and verse number 5. I want to read this verse because it tells us something about this company of prophets. It says, "After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a harp and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man." And we know that this happened when he met this company of prophets coming down. They began to prophesy to him, over him, that Saul was turned into another man. And Saul began to prophesy. Now, what I want to point out, and there are several lessons you can draw from this story, but I don't want to stay in this chapter too long. I want to point out, notice that these prophets were musical prophets, that they were coming down from a hill, from the hill, with a psaltery, a tabret, a pipe, and a harp before them. And it evidently, a part of the training of prophets in Samuel's school of prophets was the use of musical instruments. Musical instruments was one of the ways that prophets would be trained. And I know this for sure, that when there's anointed music in a church, when you have an anointed minstrel that can play anointed music, or what we're going to show you today, even prophesy on the instruments, that it really releases a spirit of prophecy, and it gives a greater ability to flow prophetically. And we know, of course, that Elisha, when he was asked to give a word about the king, by Jehoshaphat, he called for a minstrel. And when the minstrel began to play, the scripture says that the hand of the Lord came upon him and he began to prophesy. We know that David, of course, a prophet, was also a musical prophet. And David would play his harp and he would prophesy. So evidently music was an instrumental part of developing emerging prophets, young prophets. It was a part of the prophetic culture. Now we have great musicians in our churches all across America, great people that can play tremendous instruments. And unfortunately, many of them have never really been activated in the prophetic. And as a result, even though they play great songs, they rehearse songs, they play great keyboards and drums and horns and stringed instruments, piano, sometimes the prophetic level is very, very low in a church. And so one of the things that David does, because David then takes what he, evidently David was influenced by Samuel. He was anointed by Samuel. Samuel, being a prophet, had the ability to train and raise up other prophets. And David was greatly influenced by Samuel. And so I think a part of David's prophetic training also came through the hands of Samuel. We don't have everything recorded in Scripture, but we can surmise from Scripture that prophets, companies of prophets, they would gather together and worship, and they would begin to play instruments. And as they worship, they would begin to prophesy. David brings the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into Jerusalem. He sets up a tent, also known as a tabernacle. He sets the Ark of God under the tabernacle. Then he brings the Levites to the tabernacle to praise and worship God 24 hours a day. And, of course, David also was the one that established Israel's worship. David, along with Gad and Nathan the prophet and Samuel, were the ones responsible for establishing the worship in Israel. David begins to gather prophetic musicians, minstrels. He begins to gather worshipers, and for 24 hours a day, they would worship and they would prophesy. And so David is really the one that gives us a pattern of what worship should be. David is a type of worship in the Bible. We often talk about worship being Davidic. What is Davidic worship? Now we're going to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 25, and I'm going to show you from those verses what David established under that tent. But before I do so, I want to jump to the New Testament, because we know that when Jesus was speaking to the woman at the well of Samaria, and they began to discuss worship, and she said, "Our fathers taught us in this mountain we're to worship, but the Jews say in Jerusalem is a place of worship." And then Jesus tells her that the Jews have it right, because salvation is of the Jews. Worship, true worship, was in Zion, in Jerusalem. You could not just establish another place of worship outside of what God ordained. But then the Lord said, there's coming a day, the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And then he said, "For the Father seeketh such to worship him." Now we often hear about the Lord seeking the lost, and he does seek and say, he comes to seek and save that which is lost. One of the things that God also seeks is true worshipers. So one of the emphasis of Christ is that his redemption, his coming to provide salvation, would be a door through which you can receive salvation. And then, of course, his sending the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and baptizing you into the prophetic realm would then also give you the ability to become a true worshiper. So on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says when they were gathered together, the Spirit of God came, they began to speak in tongues, and it was fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet Joel, "In the last days I pour out my spirit upon all flesh, your sons and daughters shall prophesy." So one of the reasons for being baptized in the Holy Spirit, we often heard, is for power. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And that's true. Power to live for God, power to heal the sick, power to walk in the supernatural. But one of the major reasons why we get baptized in the Holy Spirit and we speak in tongues, which again is a form of inspired utterance in another tongue, which baptizes you into the spirit realm, into the prophetic realm. Remember in Acts chapter 19, when Paul laid hands on the 12 to receive the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Sometimes Pentecostals have been guilty of just emphasizing speaking in tongues as a manifestation of being filled with the Spirit of God, but prophecy is also one of the manifestations of being filled with the Spirit of God, the ability to prophesy because you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And also, this is also to baptize you into the realm of worship. because worship should be prophetic. We should receive prophetic songs. We should sing new songs. We should be able to prophesy in song. And often we're in our churches, we're used to rehearsing songs and singing songs that others have written. And these songs can carry a great anointing and be a great blessing. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes you can get so used to singing someone else's song or something someone else wrote or something that you've rehearsed until you miss one of the most exciting and fulfilling aspects of the prophetic, which is worshiping God in the spirit and singing the song of the Lord, singing spontaneous songs, singing new songs, singing prophetic songs. It is a powerful, and when that happens, it is a powerful release of God's presence in a congregation. Our church has had the privilege of knowing this now for several years, and it has taken our worship to another level. It doesn't mean that we're perfect. It doesn't mean that we don't have a bad service, but we've had some great, great services at Crusaders Church, not because we're any better than anyone else. It's just because we got a revelation of the prophetic and opened up to it and made sure that every one of our singers was trained in the prophetic, and all of our musicians also have been activated in the prophetic, and they can play prophetically on the instruments, new sounds, new music, and then the singers can sing prophetically. And it's also something I love to do as a leader, as a pastor. I love to sing prophetically. I don't consider myself a great singer. As a matter of fact, you don't want to hear me when the anointing's not on me. But when the anointing comes on me, I can carry half a tune. And I love singing the song of the Lord. I believe that pastors, every pastor should be prophetic. Because if you're not prophetic, it's very difficult to really raise up a prophetic company. Doesn't mean that every pastor has to be a prophet. But you can be a prophetic pastor. You can be a prophetic apostle. You can be a prophetic teacher. You can have that dimension in your ministry. You can learn how to sing prophetically. And so I've had the privilege of doing that in our church, and I do it almost every Sunday. When the anointing comes in, we worship. I'll sing the song of the Lord. I'll sing songs from the Lord. I'll sing songs, new songs to the Lord. And it is just a powerful release of God's presence. And we've seen miracles, healings, breakthroughs, salvations. It is amazing what happens when this realm of worship, when we come into this realm of worship. Now, let's look at what David established in 1 Chronicles chapter 25. This is when David brought the ark into Jerusalem, set it up under a tent, and established worship 24 hours a day. He chose three families, the families of Asaph, the family of Jeduthun, and the family of Heman. And these families were fathers that had sons and daughters. Each father was a prophet, and their sons and daughters also prophesied, which means these were three prophetic families with singers and musicians and a father that was prophetic, which also gives us another insight into the prophetic. The family should be prophetic. You can have a prophetic family. If you're a prophet or you're very prophetic, your sons and daughters should be able to be prophetic and prophesy. If the evangelist Philip had four daughters that prophesied in the book of Acts. So it's not unusual for prophetic grace or gifting that's in the father or mother also to come upon the children. They'll get an impartation and they'll begin to flow prophetically. Let me read the verses. It says, moreover, David, 1 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 1, moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps and psalteries and with cymbals. And the number of the workmen according to their service was. So notice now they were chosen to prophesy with instruments, which means that instruments can be used to release the prophetic. You can actually prophesy on instruments. Sometimes when the musicians are playing, I can literally hear a song in what they're playing. Even though it's just music, I can hear a song. And I often sing that song because they're prophesying with the instruments. And every minstrel, let me talk about minstrels, because sometimes we've allowed minstrels to be carnal, sometimes not even spirit-filled in our churches. I've been to churches where the minstrels weren't even saved. They were just there playing. The musicians were playing just to get a check every week. And their lifestyle was not clean and holy. They did not prophesy. They were not consecrated. And if you don't have minstrels that are consecrated, holy, committed to worship, filled with the Spirit of God, baptized in the Holy Ghost, also know how to prophesy, that can flow prophetically, hear the song of the Lord, the sound of the Lord, and begin to play it, then your worship level would never be what God desired. You may have good singing. You may even have shouting and dancing. You may have great choirs, great harmony, great voices, great musicians, but it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. And if it doesn't have a level of anointing, because the minstrels are not consecrated, holy, living clean, committed to the prophetic, committed to worship, and can literally prophesy on the instruments, then you're really living below what God wants you to live as a church and as a prophetic people. Then he names the families in 1 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 2. The sons of Asaph, Zachar, Joseph, Nethaniah, Asarela, the sons of Asaph, under the hands of Asaph, which prophesied according to the order of the king. Now I want you to notice that. They prophesied according to the order of the king. The king, David, was the one that established it. I believe it's the responsibility of every pastor, every leader, every senior leader, whether you're a reverend, a pastor, a bishop, an apostle, whatever you call yourself, whether you're just brother, if you're the senior leader, you should set or establish prophetic worship in your church. And the way you do that is by setting people that are prophetic in your worship. It's not good enough just to be able to sing or play an instrument. You need to be prophetic. So one of the things we began to do in our church is we began to look for people who not only could sing, but could also prophesy. And we began to put them in our worship, on our worship teams, among the musicians or the minstrels. And it says that the sons of Asaph prophesied according to the order of the king. The king represents the leader. He's the one that established and set this. If you don't establish it and set it, it won't happen usually in the church. Verse number 3, he mentions the sons of Jeduthun. Of Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, Gedaliah, Zerai, Jeshiah, Hashabiah, and Mattatiah, 6 under the hands of their father Jeduthun, who prophesied with a harp to give thanks and to praise the Lord. So notice they prophesied with instruments, the sons of Jeduthun. And then the sons of Heman, Bukiah, Mattaniah, Uzziah, Shabuel, and Jeremoth, Hananiah, Hanani, Eliathoth, Gedalti, and Romantiezer, Josh, Bekasha, Maloti, Hothir, and Mahazioth. I very seldom get through that verse without stumbling. And these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer. Notice that Heman was the king's seer or the king's prophet. So Heman was a prophet. We know about Gad being one of David's seers. We know about Nathan being one of David's seers, but very few know about Heman. Heman was one of David's seers or prophets. Now, in Scripture, seers or prophets were called seers in the Old Testament. Heman's sons are mentioned in verse number 4, and it says he was a seer in the words of God to lift up the horn. And God gave to Heman 14 sons and 3 daughters. So here we see 3 prophetic families that were established and set in Israel's worship. And those are the families of Asaph, the families of Jeduthun, and the family of Heman. Their sons and daughters prophesied and sung and played instruments prophetically. And so David established prophetic worship. Now we know that David also was a prophet. He's called the Sweet Psalmist of Israel. We know that he prophesied often with the instruments, and all the psalms in the Bible are really prophecies that were sung. They were actually birthed with music, and as they would sing and worship, they would begin to prophesy. So this is a realm that many churches are beginning to step into, and more churches across the earth, around the world, are beginning to understand that worship inherently should be prophetic. And so if you have a church full of baptized in the Holy Spirit people, believers, you have people with gifts, you have prophets, you have prophetic people, you have seers that are also musical and singing, then it should not be unordinary or extraordinary to see them flowing in worship. So one of the things that we desire to do is to see the level of prophetic worship to be raised up. Now, when it comes to singing prophetically, there are really 2 ways that you can do it. You can sing a prophetic song from the Lord to the people. It's really the Lord singing through you. It's Christ in you singing his song two people. You can also sing prophetically to individuals. We have prophets that not only prophesy to individuals, but sing the song of the Lord to them. And there's something about a song that really goes deep into the heart and ministers to people. I've seen people break, weep, cry. I've seen God do a great work inside of people through a song, because a song is something that really touches the heart. Music has the ability to go right into your spirit, and a song has the ability to go deep into your heart. Also, you can sing prophetically to the Lord. You can sing a song of worship to the Lord. There are many different subjects you can sing about prophetically. You can sing about God's justice, mercy, love, compassion, power, authority, beauty, splendor, majesty, His holiness, His righteousness, you know, His vengeance. I mean, there's so much you can sing about. I don't believe any two services should ever be the same. Sometimes we get into a rut of singing certain songs, and we can sing a song so much until we literally sing it to death. We sing the anointing out of it. But what does God want to say to a congregation on a Sunday morning, on a weekday when they're worshiping? What does God want worshipped? What song does He want to be released? Are we sensitive enough to come to services and we can sing songs we rehearse? Nothing wrong with that. But when the prophetic comes in, when you begin to praise God, you begin to worship, and when the prophetic comes in, that's when it's time to shift into the song of the Lord or the new song. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, what does God want to say? Our services should never be routine, boring, traditional, and the same thing all the time. God is too awesome. He's too creative. There's too many things we can sing about, prophesy about, for us to ever have routine in our churches and in our services. We should always be open up to spontaneous songs, the song of the Lord. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us, sing unto the Lord a new song. It never says sing an old song. And sometimes an old song can be anointed, but God never says sing an old song. He says sing a new song. Why? Because God is always doing something new. What I love about the prophetic is that the prophetic is always releasing new things, new words, new dreams, new visions. It's always releasing new ministries. It's always something new. The Lord says, behold, I would do a new thing. The prophets are always aware of the new thing that God wants to do every year, every season in our lives. And what I love about the prophetic is that as long as I've been around the prophetic, I've always been moving in new things. I never got in a rut in ministry. I always moved from glory to glory. It was always something new, something fresh. God was always teaching us something new, moving us into new nations, new realms, doing new things, raising up new ministries, preaching new revelations. It was always exciting and new because God is a God of new things, and prophets are able to release the new things. So we should always sing a new song. There's songs that have never been sung before. And no matter how many songs we've sung and written, there's always something new to sing, a new melody, a new sound, a new song, because God is always doing something new. And you can never exhaust God. You can never exhaust the riches of His grace, His mercy, His spirit. There's always something deeper. There's always something more we can go into as the people of God. And so I want to show you one more verse of scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. I looked at this last week, and it shows us the effect that prophecy has upon unbelievers when they come into our assembly. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that if we all prophesy, verse 24, 1 Corinthians 14, 24, it says, but if all prophesy, that means if you have prophetic musicians, prophetic singers, prophets, I mean, you have a prophetic culture, you have a prophetic level in the church. He said, but if all prophesying there come in one that believeth not, this is an unbeliever, or one unlearned, this is someone who knows nothing about the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the things of the Spirit, he is convinced or convicted of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God. Notice the response of an unbeliever and an unlearned person when they come into an assembly and all are prophesying. It says he will worship God. He'll get convicted. The song of the Lord, the prophetic words that come forth in our services, bring conviction. They go straight into the heart. The word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the effect the word of the Lord has. When we sing it, when we speak it, when we preach it, when we prophesy it, it goes straight into the heart of unbelievers, and it says they fall down and worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. It is amazing to me when the services that have, we've been very prophetic in our church, and this is almost every Sunday in Crusaders, it's been phenomenal. We've seen people come to the altar for salvation every service. It's amazing the people that get convicted. They come into your church, they may be expecting to hear something, maybe they're used to a choir, and there's nothing wrong with choirs as long as it's anointed. Maybe they're used to certain gospel songs or selections, nothing wrong with that. But when they come into contact with the prophetic and the song of the Lord and prophetic instruments and prophetic worship, the prophetic as a way of touching them in a realm that's much deeper than just coming and enjoying a service. I don't want sinners to come to our churches, enjoy the service, and then go home the same. I want them to be convicted. I want them to fall down and worship God, because, again, prophecy and worship go together. So let me just recap. The development of the prophetic initial under the prophet Samuel evidently was done through music and musical instruments. They were musical prophets. They were raised up. And one of the ways you can also develop the prophetic in the local church is through your worship, activating your people to prophesy. We'll talk about activation in a future program, what that means, how it's done. But getting your people to flow prophetically, you have tremendous singers in every church. You have psalmists sitting in churches that once they get baptized in the Holy Spirit and learn to flow prophetically, they don't just have to put on a track and sing someone's song. When they begin to learn how to flow prophetically and sing the song of the Lord, there'll be beautiful songs from heaven that'll be birthed out of them that will touch people in a deep way, and your worship will go to another level. So I'm encouraged, and I want to see more and more churches and leaders and worship leaders and pastors come into the blessing of prophetic worship. Well, as always, I want to have a chance to take some questions and spend the next maybe 20 minutes answering questions, and then begin to release the word of the Lord over those who have tuned us in. Before I do so, don't forget this book, God Still Speaks. Just get a copy of it, read it. There's a lot of what I'm teaching is in this book I've written on the prophetic. You can go to johneckhartministries.com and order a copy and study more and more on different subjects, areas of the prophetic. So let me begin with this question. I've often heard pastors refer to themselves as prophets, although they are not in the prophetic office. I also hear them refer to Jeremiah 1:10, the watchman in Ezekiel, as referring to them as pastors as well. Why is this? Is this totally correct? Well, I could say it's partially correct. Pastors are watchmen, but prophets are also watchmen. And you can have prophetic watchmen in the church as well. I have a teaching called the Shema Prophet, which I'll do at a later date. The Shema Prophet are the watchmen, the intercessors. The word of the Lord can be in the pastor's mouth, so you can apply Jeremiah 1:10 to the word of the Lord to root out, to throw down, to destroy, to break down, to build and to plant. They can be prophetic. Pastors should be prophetic. A prophet can also be a pastor. Some pastors are really prophets. Because our churches are so used to the term prophet, a pastor, we tend to make every senior leader of a local church, we call them the pastor. But apostles can be pastors. Prophets can be pastors. They can all be shepherds. But I would say that the pastor should not be the only one that is prophetic in the church or the only watchman. The senior leader should also raise up other prophets and prophetic people in the house of the Lord, which also have the word of God in their mouth. So partially, I would agree with that. The pastor is a watchman. He's a prophet in the sense that he's a spokesman for God, and he brings forth the word of the Lord to that particular congregation. Thank you for your question. Someone just saying thank you. Well, thank you too for being a part of this particular time of sharing. Here's one from Terry. Do you believe that minstrels are held the highest accountability for worship and ministries? Are they held the highest accountability how they live domestically and be mindful of the music they listen to? No, often musicians are not held. In many ministries, they're not held in a high accountability, because sometimes they just hired to play, and they just play the songs they're hired to play. And sometimes minstrels don't really know how important they are to the worship of a house. And so sometimes their level of consecration is not where it should be. Sometimes they're very carnal, they're very worldly. Sometimes they're actually living in sin. We're still playing in the church. And I think that we need to hold minstrels accountable. We should also teach on minstrels and their importance in the house of God. They're not just musicians that are in the corner playing. Sometimes in our churches, we will say things like that the pastor is the most important person in the church, or the prophet is the most important person in the church, but the minstrels are not important. No, minstrels and psalmists are very, very important people in the house of God, and they should be people that we hold to a very high level of accountability. Thank you very much for that. Let's see here. After reading portion of God Still Speaks, you wrote on atmosphere change and spiritual climates. What strategies should believers have to bring a prophetic atmosphere? Well, number one, prayer. If a church prays and fasts, that would change the atmosphere of a church. But worship will also change an atmosphere. Music can change an atmosphere. But sometimes if you're having a battle in a region of seeing strong worship or strong praise being raised up in a region or in a territory, then you may need to really do some strong intercession, some strong praying for that region, some fasting for that region, and then to bring salvation and deliverance to that region to begin to change the climate of that territory. Some territories are very religious. It's a very religious climate, so they don't really operate in the prophetic because they just are used to being religious and singing, the same songs, religious songs. Sometimes you have to deal with the religious spirit, which really tries to block the move of the new things of God. So prayer and intercession, worship will also change an atmosphere. Good anointed minstrel can change the atmosphere in a service. When you play anointed music, it changes the entire atmosphere. So anointed minstrels. Prophecy can also change the atmosphere. When there's an anointed prophetic word that's released, it can also bring great change to the climate or the atmosphere of a particular region or particular territory. Here's one. When you are building a prophetic community, what type of prophetic activations would you recommend? Well, I don't have time to go into it. In this book, we have in the back of the book, we have a list of some of the prophetic activations that we do, some of the training we do. And what I'll do is I don't have time to really go into activations now because it'll take a whole hour to teach on that. But what I want to do is I want to be able to do some teaching on it in the future and spend more time on prophetic activations. But in the back of our book, God Still Speaks, we do have a list of some of the prophetic exercises and activations that we do in our church, in our local assembly. And we've been doing it for quite some time. Here's a good one. How often should the prophetic team be taken through deliverance? Well, at least once a year, at the minimum. Everyone should go through some deliverance at least once a year. It depends. Some people need more deliverance than others. But every prophet and every prophetic person should go through deliverance so that you'll not prophesy out of bitterness, hurt, rejection, fear, anger, and the things that would destroy your life. So I recommend deliverance to come and to really be a part of every prophetic team, every prophet's life, and really do it. If you do it every quarter, do it twice a year, but at least once a year, I recommend that people go through deliverance. I have time for a few more questions, and then I'm going to do some ministry prophetically. How do I find or even help to develop a prophetic company? I'm not in an area where I have been able to find this. Well, you may have to go somewhere to a conference. If it's a trip, you have to get out of your town, out of your area, go to a prophetic conference and get around the prophetic. It's amazing how one conference can change your life. You may have to go some distance to do it, but it's worth the sacrifice. If you have to sacrifice the finances to do it, to go to an anointed conference, a prophetic conference, get some prophetic training, I would recommend you do it, even if you have to leave your area to do it. And still believe God that God would raise up one in your particular area. My pastor frequently says he's the only prophet in the house. Well, you don't want me to really comment fully on this because I don't believe that. I don't believe that God would make the pastor the only prophet in the house. What he's trying to say is he's the one that's going to call the shots, and he's the one that's going to control everything, and no one else is going to do any prophesying. And personally, I would not sit under that kind of leader. So if you want to sit under him, fine, I wouldn't. There are many prophets in churches, and there are many pastors and many gifts, and the pastor does not dominate. It does not line up with Scripture, and it is not of God, and is one of the major reasons why sometimes the prophetic and prophecy is held back in the church, because one person wants to dominate everything. And I don't believe that's God. It doesn't it grieves the Spirit of God. Remember what Moses said. He said, I would that all of God's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. That's an apostolic leader. That's a leader who wants to see all of God's people move in the Spirit, not someone that says, I'm the only one, and everyone else sit down and shut up and listen to me. Okay, let me select two more. Let's see. This one says, thanks for touching on this a little. I always wondered how a prophet that may be called to a pastor operate in ministry. Yeah, I believe every pastor should be prophetic. I believe every pastor should prophesy, because every believer should prophesy, much more every pastor. Every pastor should prophesy and move in the prophetic. Every pastor may not be a prophet, but every pastor should flow in the prophetic to some degree. And every pastor should minister, cast out devils, and heal the sick. I mean, that's just the basics of believer, much less being a pastor. It really grieves me when pastors don't even operate in what a believer should operate in, yet they have the title of a pastor because they've been ordained or because they have gone to school. Okay, is it a good thing, a good idea to change the head prophet in the house ever so often? Well, that depends on the prophet. I do believe that one of the things I teach is that prophets, head prophets should always be moving up and moving out, and really they should work themselves out of a job and always raise up people. I would say that you should have more than one prophet in the house. You don't necessarily have to change them, but if the grace on the lead prophet is not, it begins to lift to be the leader, and the grace falls on another prophet, everything we do by grace. And so it's important that we understand that. Well, I tell you what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to stop it there. I want to pray for you and prophesy over you. I won't be able to go as long as I usually do in this particular segment. I usually spend an hour. I'll probably just go 45 minutes, and I apologize for having to cut it off. But to be honest with you, my battery is dying on my computer, and I have 5% left. So I want to be able to minister to you before this whole thing shuts down. And so I want to pray for you and bless you. Don't forget to go and get a copy of this book, God Still Speaks. And just go to our website at johneckhartministries.com. And you can order it. Also, if you want to make a donation to our ministry, if you're on the CrusadersChurch.org website, you feel free to do that. If you're learning, being taught, being stirred, being sharpened by the teaching, then feel free to do that. And as you do that, we'll be glad to receive any financial assistance. It helps us get the word out, do more in the nations. We have two teams that are out now. A team in Zimbabwe, South Africa. We have a team leaving this week for Colombia and South America, and we're going to several nations this year. And your financial giving really helps us to take the prophetic and take deliverance around the world and bless the church worldwide. And so thank you so much again for tuning in to this segment on prophetic worship. I want to minister to you prophetically and speak by the Spirit of God to those who are viewing. I hear the Lord saying, I'm stirring up even new flows inside of you, and I'm causing the river of living water to flow out of your belly. So the Lord said, be encouraged and know that this is a new day and a new hour when I'm beginning to redefine what true worship is. And the Lord says, I'm breaking the traditions of men and what men have called worship, and I'm moving my people into new things, new songs, new sounds, new anointings, new levels of worship. And the Lord said, I'm stirring your faith up and showing you from my word exactly what I desire in my church. So the Lord said, do not be limited by what you've walked in the past, but know that I'm stirring up the psalmist. I'm I'm stirring up the minstrels. I'm taking the worship to another place in my house so that people can encounter my presence and encounter my glory, and people can even receive the word of the Lord through song. And the Lord said, I will release my song through my church, and I'll cause my song to go deep into the hearts of many. And the Lord said, many will be healed and delivered as they hear the song of the Lord. They'll be set free from the powers of hell. So get ready for a new dimension and a new grace. And Lord said, I'm stirring up and sharpening many of you with my word, and I'm causing you to have a desire for this. For many of you, you've heard this before, but you've lost the desire, and you've allowed some to even take that desire away from you. And even some leaders have hindered my people and not giving them a desire for the prophetic. But oh, I begin to stir that desire up back in my people, and I begin to cause you to stir up the gift that is in you. For many of you are called to be psalmists, and the song of the Lord is in your mouth, and you sing the song even in personal devotion. But oh, there's coming a day when many of you will be released in the house of the Lord to worship and to sing the song of the Lord and to bless my people. So I'm stirring that song inside of you, and I'm causing the psalmists and the minstrels and the musicians and the prophets to be established in the house of the Lord. It'll not be just one prophet here and one prophet there or one prophet in the pulpit. Oh, but there'll be prophets in the worship and prophets on the music team. There'll be prophets in the house of the Lord that will sing and play with instruments and play the song and sounds of the Lord. So get ready for a new release of my grace, and churches shall awaken to a new sound and a new song, and they shall awaken to another level of prophecy, saith the Lord. For I break the limitations of religion, and I break the limitations of tradition, and I break the limitations of men who have said, oh, it must be done this way, or it must be done that way, or this is the way to do worship, or this is the way we do worship. We've always done it this way before, and we're not going to change. But oh, there's coming a hunger in the land for to hear the sounds of the Lord and the songs of heaven and the sounds of heaven. There's coming a desire for deeper worship and even deeper truth, says the Lord. So get ready. I'm answering the prayers of my people, and I'm answering the cries of my people. And the Lord said, I'm even visiting places that have been dry and places where people have said, oh, there's nothing in my region. There's no prophetic in my region. But the Lord said, get ready. I'm going to begin to cause the wells to be redug in that region. I'm going to begin to cause the dirt and the debris to be removed from the wells. And I'm going to cause the water to flow again from ancient wells in your region, in your territory. For many of you are in places where years ago there was revival and there was glory, but men have closed off the well and sealed off the well, just as they sealed the wells of Abraham. But oh, I'm causing the Isaacs to come again, and they're going to dig the wells and begin to cause the water to flow again. And I'm calling many of you to be Isaacs in this hour. You'll be those that dig the wells and cause the water to flow. And I'm going to visit dry places, and I'm going to visit places where there's been no water and no life, and I'm going to cause the water and the river to flow, says the Lord. So get ready, says God, for a new release in your territory and a new release in your place. Be encouraged and know that I'm stirring you up to pray, and I'm stirring you up to believe, and I'm stirring you up with my word, and I'm causing my prophetic word to go out throughout the earth, and I'm rooting out, and I'm pulling down, and I'm throwing down, and I'm destroying even principalities and powers and even tradition and religion. But I'm building and planting. I'm planting a new word in you. I'm building upon a new foundation, and I'm building a new house, a new church. So get ready for the release of the prophetic in your houses, and new psalmists shall be raised up, and worship leaders shall come forth in this generation. And they'll not do it like it's been done in the past, but oh, they'll sing by the Spirit, and they'll prophesy in song, and they'll sing the song of the Lord, and they'll sing songs to the Lord, and they'll sing songs from the Lord, and many shall be blessed. It is a new day, so get ready, for I'm releasing it now through my prophetic word, and my glory shall be seen throughout the nations. Father, I bless everyone that has been viewing, Lord, this particular teaching on prophetic worship, part 4, Father. I bless them, and I speak grace, favor, peace, mercy, and shalom upon you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I enjoyed myself greatly. If you were blessed by this teaching, go to my Facebook page and let me know how you were blessed, or what you learned, or what you may want to talk about, questions you may have that I didn't get a chance to ask, answer. You can maybe put them on the page, and we'll try to get back and answer those questions. And again, I'll see you next week, Monday night, same time. Tune us in and be blessed. Thank you so much for tuning in.